do, though, move on to our next agenda item, which is the review of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum. For those longer-serving members of the Advisory Council, you will all be fully aware that we were involved in the discussions and giving advice around the setting up of the advisory Accounting and Standards Advisory Forum, and part of that setting up was that there would be a review 2 years after it was set up. Now, just to talk about that, and the agenda did say Yael and Michelle. Yael is sick, I understand, so will not be here. So Michelle is going to take us through where we are at with that review and seeking advice from us with respect to that. Michelle, it's all yours.
Okay, so as Jana said, we've got half an hour to talk about the review of ASAF, so I'm going to try and just quickly go through the slides because the main aim is to get your views on some of the feedback we've received. So I'll go through where we are in the review and why we're doing the review. So in terms of the background, when ASAF was formed following the 2011 strategy review by the trustees, and it was about formulating our relationships with national standard setters, and particularly in identifying the importance of the role that national standard setters play in helping us develop standards. There are two main constitutional documents that were established and signed by ASAF members when ASAF was formed. These are the Memorandum of Understanding and the Terms of Reference. These set out the objectives and the commitments that ASAF members made and the ISB made on the formation of ASAF. And the Terms of Reference outline the objectives, membership, how we will communicate. And specifically, the Terms of Reference said that we would review the operations of ASAF after a two-year period. So the two-year period is almost up. The first ASAF meeting took place April 2 years ago. So we discussed with the trustees what the scope of this review should be earlier in October. And we agreed that we would scope the review to look at those two documents and how effective ASAF had been in relation to those two documents. And we would collate information through a series of questionnaires and interviews, and that we will issue a feedback statement so our findings are available. We issued the questionnaires to national standard setters and the ASAF members in November and received responses in January. We had a good response rate, I think. In February, we updated the trustees, and we've now received feedback from ISB members and ISB staff, and we're currently discussing drafting a summary of what we found so far to actually discuss with the ASAF at its next meeting at the end of March. In relation to the feedback we've received from ASAF members and other national standard setters, I think it's very fair to say that there is very strong support for ASAF, and although we'll be discussing some areas where improvements have been identified, I think areas of improvement have to be seen within the strong support for ASAF, and particularly there was support around ASAF being and enhancing the dialogue between the ISB and the global standard setting community. There was also a view that ASAF had grown in importance to the ISB. So some of the areas noted for improvement were the timely provision of agenda materials, some the agenda topics, and the feedback received, or the feedback that we should be providing to ASAF members about what we do with their advice. In the next section, I'm just going to take you through the feedback we've received. At this point, we're still analysing the feedback and thinking of our next steps, so this presentation doesn't have in it recommendations. We're still doing that analysis. So we asked ASAF members and national standard setters if they thought the objectives and the scope of the activities were about right. I think most ASAF members noted that ASAF needed to be solution-focused and that some of the discussions needed to focus more on particular solutions to topics that we were addressing. There were also suggestions that perhaps ASAF should be consulted on some of the agenda priorities for the ISB, and one or two ASAF members also suggested that consultation with ASAF should be part of the ISB's due process. Non-ASAF members noted that they thought this was a very useful multilateral forum, and I think what came through from the non-ASAF members was the importance of the regional groups that exists and the work that is done by the regional groups in preparation for the ASAF meetings. But they also suggested that maybe we should be discussing some of the implementation issues. In relation to membership, and the trustees appoint the members of ASAF, there was consensus from both ASAF members and non-ASAF members that geographical representation was important. The ASAF members tended to support the size of ASAF as it is, and they also suggested that the regional groups should be permanent members. One or two also just suggested as the membership comes up for renewal, we needed to think about the stability and that we do get some change in the people participating in ASAF because it's organisations that are appointed. And there was some discussion about whether ASAF and the membership should be for people that have fully adopted IFRS. I think the question is really, is it IFRS adopters or IFRS users? The non-ASAF members had slightly different views in so much so much that they thought we should increase the size of ASAF. And they suggested, or one or two of them suggested, there should be a link between the membership to the size of the capital market or something based along the G20 lines. There were one or two who suggested that we should perhaps include regulators within ASAF. And that the terms of office for ASAF members should be increased. And we also had comments rather whether we should include public sector, such as IPSASB, as part of the membership of ASAF. I think in terms of communication and liaison, as I said earlier, the key point that came through was the need for the timely provision of agenda materials. So we are working on making sure that we get papers out a bit earlier. Members tended to ask for an improvement in the summary of the meeting, and we'll discuss that with members. They also thought that there should be agreement with them over the summary and the agenda. Non-ASAF members, interestingly, raised a lot of questions about the time that was spent on individual topics, and some of them suggested there were too many topics on the ASAF agenda. We asked the ASAF members, obviously, for their views on how effective they thought the meetings were, and they raised the topics of when we brought material to the ASAF. Now, that it is very difficult when you have ASAF quarterly meetings and projects are progressing to get the timing of the projects aligned with the timing of the ASAF meetings. But one area where we had some feedback from ASAF was very mixed, in so much that ASAF members had different views about what should be on the agenda. Some thought we should concentrate more on the research projects, others thought it should be on the current agenda projects, and one or two suggested that we should include the controversial implementation narrow scope amendments and things. So there was a real diversity of views about the agenda. In terms of the ISB's interaction with the ASAF meetings, there was strong support for the level of commitment that the ISB had given to ASAF. But one or two people said that we should have other ISB board members rather than just the board advisors. So at the moment, at the ASAF meeting, we have the chair, the vice chair, and the board advisors for each individual project, but it was suggested we could extend that. Some people thought that the papers needed to be much clearer and focused about what we were trying to achieve in the meeting. And a big point that came back was the feedback and how we fed back to the ASAF members on what had been given as advice. So on slide 14, there are a number of questions that we would like to pose to the Advisory Council in terms of us helping us consider the feedback we've received. So we would ask members, do you have a view that ASAF should be a mandatory step in the ISB's due process? Where do you think the ISB, the ASAF's activities should focus, on our research priorities or another area? Do you have a view on the size of the ASAF, and are there any other comments you have?
Thanks very much, Michelle, for that summary. Very useful. And I think where you're at, very timely to seek advice from the Advisory Council. Michelle has obviously asked some very specific questions, which are obviously key to her making recommendations or considering the feedback, as well as just general questions. So I encourage you, please, if you can, to answer the specific questions, but obviously other comments too would be useful. So I open it up, and Peter, start off with you.
Sorry, but may I start with another comment? It might help answer the other questions. May I ask whether the ISAB are receiving the sort of advice they are expecting from ASAF, and also whether ASAF are giving the advice in line with the ISB expectations? So is there a match there? And also, if this is looking a little bit more strategic in terms of agendas, how does the ISAB work with ASAF as one group, this group as another group, specifically on strategic matters, and arguably a third group being investor outreach groups? How does all that get tied together? And if you're hearing different messages from investors to standard setters on strategic issues, how do you square that up? And is ASAF more to do with the more the technical issues which we don't deal with?
Very good question, I think, there, Peter. And I might ask either Hans or Ian to actually respond to that.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Yes, we do get advice from ASAF, and we do find the discussions very helpful. Now, often, though, the opinions on ASAF are divided, as you'd expect. You've got 12 different views around the table. So when you ask, are they in line with what we want or what we do, I don't think it's quite that simple. We get a spectrum of opinions, which is what we want. And it is interesting, in different parts of the world, they have different opinions on different things. So it's very useful, and it is technical. It's deliberately technical, as opposed to what we seek from this group. And so that's the major difference between this group and ASAF. And I think that's been set out in a few papers or things we've had here before on how the two, we don't see a great conflict between the two bodies. The ASAF is very technical. We hope this group is very strategic. Now, obviously, there'll be a crossover sometimes, but you handle that as it comes. The third group you mentioned is investors. We get conflicting advice all the time, within groups, between groups, and we've got many more groups than the Advisory Council, ASAF. I think somewhere in the papers for this meeting, we've got a list of all the groups we consult, including preparers, including auditors, including all sorts of people. We have to take that advice, we have to balance it, and we have to make a judgment, and that's what the board is for.
If I can just add, yeah, so we are used to dealing with conflicting advice. I guess it's a fact of life. About the overlap between ASAF and the Advisory Council, I don't think we have had any real problems there. For example, the discussion on the mission statement I will not have with ASAF, because that is, it has nothing to do with the technicalities of accounting. On the other hand, revenue recognition, how to deal with that. We will talk later about the transition resource group. That has both technical considerations, but also strategic considerations. What can we do with a standard that has just been finished? And we look forward to hearing your opinion about that. So that has been one of the main surprises to me in the last year that, first of all, it was also very clear from the outset that this council supported ASEF and didn't see it as competition. And what we have discovered that in reality, indeed, there is very, very low overlap between the two.
If I could just add, actually, in some of the ASAF members' responses, they noted that there wasn't an overlap, although there had been some concern initially that there hadn't been an overlap, and I think Aida and I don't find there's an overlap.
Okay. Good question, though, Peter. And Rudolf, if you...
And I think the comment was pretty much covered by Hans and Ian with respect to potential overlap between ASEF and this council. The one thing I would just add is if you look at slide 10, there seems to be a suggestion that regulators be added to the ASEF, which then maybe increases the tension of overlap for this one here. I guess that just then compounds the challenge you have, Hans, keeping the two separate.
Alberto?
Thank you. I want to respond to one of these specific questions listed in the slide, and that is the size of ASEF and the allocation of seats. My view is that a technical body shouldn't be too large, otherwise there is no fruitful discussion. If it's a forum of 50 people or so. So the size, in my view, is okay. But because the size is okay, it is not large, you tend to talk to the same people all the time. Whereas the number of national standard setters around the world are a big number. So I therefore recommend a sort of rotation of seats. Of course, you cannot rotate 100% every time. I mean, to have a plan of rotation so that you can listen throughout the years, you can listen to more people.
Thanks, Alberto.
I mean, I can take your point completely, Alberto, but just to add that we have other fora where we talk to national standard setters. We have the world standard setters once a year here. And we have IFAS twice a year, which is a group of about 30 standard setters, including the ones that are on ASEF. So,
but there will be a rotation. There will be a rotation.
Tom? No, wasn't you. Sorry, I've got the wrong person. Egbert, sorry.
Thank you, Joanna. I had a few reflections on these slides. First of all, I think the outcome seems to be a compliment to ASEF, because what I see that those who are in ASEF want to stay in, and those who are not in ASEF are trying to put forward a yardstick or criterion that would put them in. So apparently it's a good place and a good forum to be on.
Yep.
I think that also provides some reflection as to how to look at those various suggestions. In my view, it's not about size or it's more about the contribution that the parties can bring to the table. So that's what I would recommend to keep in mind when reflecting on who should be on ASEF. As to other sort of elements as to who should be on and not should be on, it seems to me that since this is a very technical forum, I would keep it focused. I would keep it focused on standard setters, wouldn't expand it. If you expand it, it's hard to see where it would end. It could end up with a group like this, and you already have a group like this. As to scope and remit, agenda priorities, for example, to discuss with ASEF, it seems to me that that's probably not the best place. It seems that this council is a better place to discuss agenda priorities. Whether ASEF should be part of the formal due process, I have no strong feelings. If it would help in the buy-in and in the process around ASAP, then I think it would be a worthwhile consideration, but I have no strong views on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Egbert. Linda.
Yeah, as a preparer and quite, I know my ASAP member quite well, I would say that it is working out extremely well because I think it helps bridge some of the communication, understanding globally of some of the issues, and brings the issues to the forefront in a really good discussion, both with the ISB coming to the home countries as well as at the meetings. So I would definitely continue. And I wouldn't like to see my member rotated off, so if there's anything we can do to have those that are very effective stay on, that would be good.
Thanks, Linda. Julie?
Two comments. One on the first question, should consultation with ASAF be a mandatory due process step? What struck me when I read that was then you're sort of creating two, if you did that, you're sort of creating two levels of constituents, those for whom consultation is mandatory and those for whom it isn't. And I don't know that you want to do that, or I don't know that you draw the line that ASAF is the people for whom consultation is mandatory, but for example, securities regulators or investors or issuers, it's non-mandatory. So it just didn't strike me as very workable or practicable. On the second one, I think one of the slides mentioned there had been a couple suggestions of potentially adding regulators. Of course, I read that as securities regulators. First, of course, I'd be just interested, you know, the thinking behind that before weighing in on it. But my immediate reaction was I had never thought about a regulator joining the group. I mean, I'd always thought the mission of the group was let's just hear from the standard setters in the remit that they have. So my initial reaction was, you know, not to mix the group. Certainly, the regulatory community has a protocol with the ISB where we provide input, kind of a ASAF type function, and at least that seems to be working well. So I'm not sure you'd want to mix the two, but obviously I'd be curious the logic behind it before dismissing it.
Yeah, Hans.
My initial inkling had been to do include it in the due process rules for the very fact that we will have. Even if we didn't want to, we have to take ASAP very seriously, and we will. But I think you make a good point, and I think our general due process rules are already so stringent that it is unthinkable that we would be able to, you know, pass it by. So I think that's a very good point. What I would really strongly suggest our trustees is that ASAP gets an official place in our governance structure. And that would do just about the same thing, I suppose.
And it is interesting, of course, that on the chart that describes the foundation, ASAF is there. That has us alongside. ASAF is already there. So, yeah. Well, it isn't the one I used in the induction session this morning, anyway. Anne.
Thank you very much, Joanna. Just regarding some of the questions, coming to the issue about should it be a mandatory due process step, and I hear what you say, Hans, I would like to draw your attention, first of all, to what I think would happen, that the time period for completing any due process, if you add in the ASAP, would be more extended, not necessarily advisable. And from a governance perspective, we expect the ISB to be really accountable within the due process. And so I would suppose this might confuse those matters, and we wouldn't want that necessarily. The ASAP has been most successful because it is very focused, very technical. And when you raise the issue about appointing others into that body, say, for example, regulators, I do have a problem with that. Because many of the securities regulators that I meet are not hands-on technical in accounting standards. The thing is not the same. So I would not necessarily recommend extending the body to that extent. Again, just one comment. I think they could contribute well in terms of research priorities, because when you explain to them the projects that you have coming forward, they immediately should know or would know the background papers that you're going to require to have an evidence-based standard coming forward. So I think that would be useful. But agenda priorities, I think probably my view is maybe this is the table.
Thanks, Anne. Hidetake?
Well, regarding the first question, well, basically I think that the ASAF has been working very well. So I think that the ASAF should be involved in the mandatory due process. But the basic important thing is that IASB is the decision maker. So as long as that principle is maintained, well, we think that IASB should utilize ASAF much more. And the second question, I don't think ASAF scope should not be expanded to these things. And in terms of third things, well, of course, someone told us before, well, it's very important to do, this discussion should be more effective. So current number of members would be reasonable to me. And the fourth one, well, one thing I would like to say that the meeting of ASAF and ISB should be held before ISB meeting. And that could be very important for the discussion. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Goro.
Yes, that the my view on ASAF, that the, I share that the my colleagues' view in many aspects. That the first regarding that the consultation with the mandatory due process, that the ASAF's discussion is such a high quality, technically high quality, and I think that the we may be should consider that the include mandatory process, but the I still that. The it should be we should be quite prudent or cautious because that the inclusion of ASAF may cause that the as Hans or Ian suggested the views on the ASAF is so split, so that the, this may just trigger that the unnecessary delay in the work of ISB and the ASAF's activity scope should be very much, should be focused so that I don't think that it should include that the agenda priorities, research activities, etc. And I want to add one thing besides these questions regarding that ASAF's role or that the ASAF's effects, that the, by including that the non IFO's adoption countries like the US or Japan or China, that I think that ASAF is effectively provides a venue for that these countries to, converge toward IFRS. I think that this is a very important, role of ASAF. You can hear formally from that the views of the non-IFO's adoption countries, but at the same time that you can, exchange views, particularly with that those countries who are already adopting IFRS. I think this kind of, that mutual influence between IFRS adoption countries and non-IFRS adoption countries is very important to pursue a single set of high quality global accounting standards.
Let's carry on. I'm conscious of the fact that we have this is a really important subject. We have a photographer waiting, and I'm trying to think how we heard cats as much as anything else. Sorry, very English expression about getting us all to appear and photograph, and also that lunch will be ready at 12:30, and presumably that's going to be hot. However, I will cogitate how we deal with that. So I guess part of what I'm saying is I do want everybody's comments, but maybe if we can make them as effective as we can in terms of your comments. So, Donita, you were next on the list.
Okay, I'll be really quick. Really, I wanted to reiterate some of what Julie, or echo some of what Julie and Anne said a minute ago. I think I would share many of those views. I do think that, back to Michelle's comment earlier about improving the way that feedback is provided to ASAF about what has happened, the disposition of their comments, in the same way that we talked about that for this council, I think that's very important for ASAF as well. Certainly taking into account Ian's comment earlier about there being varied views among the ASAF members. Of course, that's going to be true, I would think. I think the size is about right. If you start increasing the size, I think the benefit that the board gains from the technical advice and the depth of that technical advice is probably going to be diminished. And I would agree with comments of others earlier that adding the regulators to that mix doesn't seem to be an appropriate thing to do. I think that this is the right forum, and there are other forums in which to hear from the regulators, but would not think that ASAF is the right one.
Steve Lim.
Thank you, Joanna. I'll be very brief. First, the inclusion of the ASAP process as a due process is not a good idea. It will only delay the standards decisions by IASB because at the beginning, it started out as a consulting body rather than part of a due process. My second comment is, if possible, the ESAP members must be IFRS adopters because the purpose of ESAP is to have in-depth technical discussions. Without adopting, it will be very difficult to have a very deep technical knowledge about IFRS. That's my comment.
Thanks, Steve. Pam?
Thanks again. I'll try to be quick. I agree with comments made by Julie and Anne and others on not making this a mandatory part of due process. In addition, my concern is that it could devolve into a secondary deliberative body, which would have a negative impact for the reasons mentioned. On the inclusion, I would also agree with keeping the regulators out and continuing to access them through the forums available. And I really appreciate Goro's intervention about keeping some of the non-adopters in. I think keeping them in the fold and having a formal place to continue those discussions is important for the future of IFRS. And lastly, on the scope of the activities, I would agree with those who mentioned that things like agenda and research projects would then, I think, tend to overlap with the remit of this group. I did notice there was a suggestion, I think, from the non-ASAF members about implementation items perhaps being discussed there, and that does seem like it would be consistent with the technical remit of the group.
Thanks, Pam. Stephen?
I'll try and be quick. I think I'd agree the ASAP has been very successful, and I think one of the reasons for that is because it is actually been something that's been inclusive for bringing in some of these standard setters who felt they were a little bit out. So I think we shouldn't lose sight of the political side of this, that it's been very important to get them included. The work I've done with some of them in terms of supporting some of this is I think they have a lot to add at the identifying issues element. And I think that runs into the research. I actually think it runs into interpretations, and I'd like to see a closer link to the interpretations and also the post-implementation, because I think that's where they add the value. That's where they're close to what's really happening in practice, and they're actually addressing the same issues at a local level. So I think it's important that, that they're focused on that side of it in terms of driving the work that's done.
Thanks, Stephen. And Marika.
Thank you, Joanna. My comment is related to the first point, shared consultation with ASFB, a mandatory due process step for the ISB. ISB discussed a wide range of topics, not only just standard level discussions, but also implementations or narrow scope amendment. But if my understanding is correct, ASAP meeting is just a 2 days meeting, so I think it would be better to focus on some specific, very important issues. And I have just quick one question. My question is, who decides the agenda of ASAP? Is there any opportunities for ASAP members to provide some comments on the agenda of the ASAP?
Michelle?
Yeah, at the end of each ASAP meeting, I put forward a draft agenda for the next meeting, and then based on feedback, I send a revised agenda for members to discuss, so they do get quite a lot of opportunity to comment on the agenda.
Okay, and I did mean to rush you, actually, so saying I didn't mean to is saying the wrong thing. And I'm actually now going to say to Michelle, is there anything you further want to ask the group, having got those comments back? Any specific comments that you would like to ask? Now, presumably, you're going to stay around for lunch too, so you could ask specific questions then.
No, I don't have specific questions, but I would like to say thank you very much, because it's been really, really helpful, the feedback.
Okay, all right, thank you. Now, I think it has been useful, and certainly the feedback, I think has been very strategic, if you like, in thinking about that and not focusing on the numbers, but around the role of ASAP. Now, we do have, and I've sent Micah out to the kitchen to say, can we put back lunch just for a few minutes? So I don't know with the photograph, but we are supposed to go and have a photograph. Now, it is outside, and I'm looking at Ada now, and what I would, if at all possible, I would encourage us, the photographer is there, that we all go down there right now and we do not go via the bathroom, because we will, and I know another